Hello, you're listening to Fresh Wellness with Lisa Shebeck, and welcome to my podcast. A homeopath by trade, with the aim of helping you discover health, natural living, and alternative therapies to bring you down the rabbit hole.
That's good.
In this episode, I'm delighted to talk to CHE founder and principal Marcus Fernandez. Marcus has been practicing and teaching homeopathy for the last 26 years. Marcus explains how he changed career direction from rock band to homeopath, what is homeopathy in his own words, why he set CHE up and its expansion to all corners of the globe, with students now attending from Australia to Japan, the future of homeopathy and its role in self-empowering individuals, and also as the ultimate sustainable medicine, including helping crops grow. We touch on the history of homeopathy in the US, including how Rockefeller had a homeopath. We discuss Marcus's favourite remedy, what Marcus and his wife would consider to be his constitutional remedy, and Marcus's hopes for humanity.
The world needs healing right now, and the world needs homeopathy. So just like when we gave away our home prescriber course, I mean, in the end, we've had about 15,000 people registered that and watched it, and around the world it went viral, and that showed me actually people are desperate for this information and another way of looking at their health and well-being for themselves, for their families. So I think it, you know, the more that we can communicate and we can help people, let people know that it's out there, because most people still don't know what homeopathy is. I've said this before, you can go ask 100 people on the street what is homeopathy, and they'll have no idea what it is. Or is it herbs? Or is it this? Or is it that? And so people still don't know what it is. So I think part of our job as homeopaths is to share that.
Yeah, and I think you're right, actually. Even some of the sort of very high profile people on Instagram that are into natural health, they're talking about how even natural health and holistic medicine labels and does this and does that. And I think, no, it doesn't. Homeopathy doesn't do that. You know, even in the alternative community, yeah. I think, particularly in the States, that's the impression I get, it's not so well known. And I think, don't label us all under the same umbrella, because it's completely not like that at all.
Exactly.
So Marcus, how would you explain in a nutshell to people listening then, what is homeopathy in your words?
So what is homeopathy? Well, I see homeopathy, it's a whole system of medicine. It looks at you mentally and emotionally as well as physically. So you're born here and you're here now, and different things have happened along the way. So our job is to go back and treat the cause behind something, what goes on. So I always use the analogy of a car dashboard, like if you had an illness or whatever you've got, a bit like a car dashboard, that the oil light flashes. If the oil light flashes, means there's something wrong in the engine. So if you just take the bulb out or you just suppress the symptoms, there's still a problem in the engine and the car is going to break down 2 or 3 miles down the road. So the homeopath actually goes into the engine, sorts the cause out, what's behind it, and then the bulb goes out. So homeopathy is getting to the cause of things, and it works on a principle of like cures like. So if you chop an onion up, your eyes water, your nose runs. Well, we use onion in a very diluted form for things like hay fever or colds where your eyes are streaming, your nose are running. So homeopathy is very simple. The principle behind it is very simple. And what homeopathy does when you take a remedy, it's just stimulating your body to heal itself. You know, it's tapping into to your own natural healing wisdom. And I always say your body contains all the natural healing wisdom we're ever going to need. We've just got to tap into that. And the more that we do that, the more that we use modalities like homeopathy to stimulate our body to heal itself. It's a bit like a muscle, like going to the gym. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. But if you're just suppressing symptoms all the time, you never get into the cause of it. So eczema is a great example of this. You have eczema and you go and go for treatment and you get maybe steroid cream and you put the steroid cream on, the eczema comes and it goes and it comes and it goes, and then it can disappear. And then a few months down the line or 6 months down the line, you develop asthma. And often eczema and asthma go together. So, and really what it is, it's the eczema has been driven into the body and gone deep into the body. Now it's producing an asthma. And you see this when you treat people with asthma with homeopathy, that when the asthma clears and gets better, then the eczema comes back.
Yeah.
Because It's again, it's a principle of what we use in homeopathy called the law of cure. So it goes back to the place where it was before. It comes back out to the skin. You treat it with homeopathy and it disappears. So again, back to the car dashboard analogy, the if you suppress it, if you take the bulb out, there's still a problem in the engine and it will go deeper into the system.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's a great explanation. So Marcus, thank you. Why? So tell me about you and your career in homeopathy and what led you to become a homeopath.
Long story. So it goes back, I was in a band. So I was about 19, I was 20, around that age. And I just wanted to be a rock and roller. That was my ambition, my only ambition. And often in those days, well, probably the same today, that you only got paid, obviously, once you did a gig. And we're always going from gig to gig and struggling for money. And at this time, we were going to do a tour of Germany. But I had no money. So I thought, I'm going to have to get a job, you know, a part-time job before we go on tour so I can get some cash, you know, to take with me. And so the only job I could get at the time was working in a nursing home. And this was like the furthest thing away from my mind to work that could be possible.
Yeah, sure.
Old people or elderly people, it wasn't in my sphere being sort of that age. But the only job I could get. So I worked there, I think it was on about £2.50 an hour. Something ridiculous, a long time ago. And I enjoyed it, actually. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed engaging with the residents there. And one day I was having a cup of coffee in the break room, and this lady, who's one of the matrons there, said, we were chatting away, and she said, you know what? You'd make a really good homeopath. And I went, what? I never even heard of the word before. Yeah. She said, you make a really good homeopath. Why don't you train as a homeopath? I went, nah, I thought I'm not here that long. I'm going to be a rock star. No. And I'm into music. I wasn't really interested. And I said, no, you should come along. I'm going to this open day in a couple of weeks. Why don't you come with me? I said, no, I'm really not interested. I don't know anything about it. You know, this is not going to be I know what I'm going. Anyway, so cut a long story short, every time I saw her, she would go on about coming to this open day with her. And in the end, I said, look, okay, I'm going to come with you. I ain't going to sign up. I'll come along, but I ain't going to sign up. So I went along with her. Now, the day before we were supposed to go to this open day, I used to get a lot of tonsillitis. I was the singer in the band. So I used to get a lot of tonsillitis. And I remember I woke up terrible tonsillitis. And I phoned the GP up, could I get an appointment? They couldn't fit me in because normally I just take antibiotics.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'm going to try this homeopathy stuff out. And if it works, I'm going to go for this open day. If it doesn't, I ain't going to go. So I went into town. I went into this health food store and there was all these remedies, all these weird names I never heard of, like Pulsatilla, Arsenicum. Nux Vomica, which I thought was a great name for a band. Nux Vomica.
Yeah, it would be actually.
Anyway, so the remedy I looked at was Gelsemium, and it was a Valida remedies, and it was a Gelsemium. I thought, well, that fits my symptoms. So I went home, I took it. As soon as I took it, I remember I was in the sandwich, I just sort of like fell asleep. And I woke up a couple of hours later, I was wringing wet with sweat. And I thought, wow, God, this is pretty powerful. So I took another one and I did that all day. And I woke up the next morning, completely disappeared.
Amazing.
And I've never had tonsillitis since.
Never since. Wow.
Talking nearly 30 years ago. So I went for the open day. So with no intention of signing up, but I went along to the open day and there was a guy there called Robert Davison, the late great Robert Davison that taught most homeopaths here in the UK. And he was speaking about homeopathy. And I remember listening to him and I remember feeling just going very quiet inside, like a quietness that I'd never really experienced before. It was like a stillness. And I remember thinking I was hearing truth for the first time for what he was saying. And this might sound a bit strange, but I also felt like I knew this. This I knew what he was saying and I knew it was true. So, and I thought if the whole world... If this is true, what he's saying, the whole world should know about homeopathy. Why doesn't he know about it? And it was from that decision. Well, I signed up. I signed up by the end of the day. And I made a decision that day that I would help spread homeopathy to the four corners of the world if this was true. And And that's the story how I got into it. And, you know, all the years later of college and different things we've done, I've done that. And I continue to do that to this day, you know, spread it. And like with our college, especially the online and all the online activity we do. And we have people from all the corners of the world, and including coming to London for our classroom-based courses. People have trained here and then gone off to all different parts of the world. So, it all started that fateful day. And actually, the remedy I took, Gelsemin, what was interesting was I was asked to go and do a talk a few years ago to Valida, their annual conference, and I told the story. Because if it wasn't for Valida, that remedy... Then I wouldn't be at that conference talking. And so it was a nice full circle after 30 years.
That's amazing. I love that. And that resonates massively, because I remember similarly when I read my first book on homeopathy, having had a similar experience of seeing it work. And I just knew, you know, at that moment that life was changing profoundly forever. And also similarly, like, wow, if this is true, if this works like this, why doesn't everyone know about it? You know, how amazing. Absolutely. So is that why you obviously said, you know, right from the outset, you wanted to spread the word? Was there always the plan to set up the college, or was that something that
evolved? Yeah. So I remember when I was studying, I was living in my little bedsit. I was living in Leeds at the time in my little bedsit. And I was writing out what my plan would be. So the plan would be obviously to qualify. This is when I was studying, to qualify. Then I wanted to have a centre. Where like a place of all different types of therapies there alongside homeopathy, because I love all forms of complementary medicine, acupuncture, osteopathy, cranial sacral therapy. And I wanted a place where people could come and have a choice around their healthcare. And then from that, I wanted to... the homeopathic hospital was in there as well, which is interesting because we ended up in the homeopathic hospital back in 2009, but also to have a college and a school of homeopathy where we train people in homeopathy and not dilute it. I mean, even though I love other therapies, I wanted it to be a pure homeopathic training and to maintain the sort of standards of homeopathic education. And the people teaching there were eclectic. That was just wasn't just one style of homeopathy, that all styles were taught. So students, it was like having tools in the toolbox. So wherever who walked through your door, you have a tool or an approach, homeopathic approach to deal with them, because we need different tools. There's just not one way of doing anything. And we wanted to empower our students that that they could go out there and do that. So it was always part, but and even though it seemed crazy, and I would say to everybody, you've got to articulate what you want, and to me, you have to make a plan. Or and I used to visualize this. You know, I bought every book in visualization and prosperity consciousness I could, because my background and my family was very much around the mantra, there's not enough to go around. You know, money doesn't grow in trees, and this whole poverty consciousness. Then I was determined actually. The message I had was important and was for me and for the world, and I wanted to, you know, get it out there. So I didn't want any obstacles to stop that within me.
Manifestations of the real life manifestation.
Absolutely.
And I think you're right, visualizing exactly what you want. Half the time is we focus on what we don't want or don't like, but actually don't often have a clear idea of what we do want.
And absolutely.
Crazy.
I always remember reading Tony Robbins' book, a very famous book now, Awaken the Giant Within, around that time. And what he says is that the quality of your life is the quality of your communication, both to yourself and to the outside world. So you're right, that inner communication to me is absolutely crucial. I've seen that with my own, you know, patients in practice. But for all of us, that we have to engage ourselves every day. So even though I had the visualization and I had the idea of what I wanted to create, that was the purpose, but also I had to live every day in my purpose and be engaged with life on an every day, not just have this sort of this goal in the distance. I had to live it every day, or live according to my purpose every day. So I think that's a crucial part of when we manifest things, that we actually have to be present every day in our lives with everybody that we come in contact with.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, it's an amazing course. Obviously, I studied at CHE and loved it. I mean, it was completely life changing. When was the college actually set up?
So we set it up, myself and two other colleagues, back in 1998. So what's that, 23 years ago now?
Oh, wow,
And again, at the time, as I said, we set it up because we, at the time, it was very political homeopathy. It was either very classical, which means basically give one remedy and you wait, or it was very practical, which meant you give more than one remedy and can give lots of remedies at the same time. And we said it shouldn't be methodology driven, it should be patient driven. So again, putting the patient at the heart, at the center of it, that we teach different, as I said, different approaches and different methodologies. So that was all. And also, we wanted students to be in practice. We wanted to train you so you're out there doing it in practice. So that's why from our third year in our part-time training, or after the first year of our full-time training, fast-track training, that you set up your practice whilst you're studying with us. So by the time you qualify in your fourth year or your second year of fast-track, that you already have some kind of practice up and running, but you've been doing it. You've been doing it for a couple of years before you leave. Because I know when I did my training, and I know for a lot of homeopaths that when they finish, they're then going to start the practice, which is really difficult once you've left the course. So it's better to do it whilst you're with us and whilst you're still on the course.
Definitely, and that was a massive appeal as to one of the reasons, I chose to study at CHE because I know what it's like. It can be quite intimidating. You finish a course and then it's like, where do you start? But you've already got those patients and you're already doing it, which is a massive benefit and confidence boost as well.
Absolutely. And we've just done a pilot, actually. We just finished it yesterday, where we took some graduates and we also provided the clients for them, like a finishing school. And so again, because like it's like anything, you learn homeopathy best by using it, whether it's acutely when you first start out with a remedy kit with the kids or with the family, but also as a practitioner. But what we tend to find was that you couldn't create a practice unless you have the confidence, but you can't get the confidence you've got until you've got the practice. So we did a trial where actually we provided clients to people when they finished. We just finished, it was 2 year trial, and it's worked really successfully. So it's something again that we're probably going to roll out in the future.
No, that sounds great. And what other plans for the college are there at the moment? What courses are you doing?
Yeah, well, many plans. Well, the whole world changed, a year ago. And I mean, we already had an online course anyway that we do. So I mean, we continue to hopefully get back in the classroom, ready for the September to September start again. So we'll always have a classroom-based course here in London, and also our online course. And last year was our busiest year we've ever had in 23 years. Of our intake, and especially on the online course. And it truly is international, as I said, about getting to the four corners. We have people from America, Australia, Tanzania, I mean, all at Singapore, all over the world training. And what it's done as well, the whole lockdown and going virtual and using things like Zoom and different online sort of tools, is that we can run clinics online. Like we've been running six low-cost clinics online every month. We have live tutorials. We it can be done. So the plan is still back to the message, the original mission, which was to put it to the four corners of the world. We're also building a new platform, a new learning platform, so people will be able to access it through an app, as well as desktop or tablet. And we're just trying to improve the courses, always as we go forward. And just continue doing what we're doing.
That's amazing that you have people from Australia. I guess the only issue there is a time difference, but that's
Yeah, well,
you
yeah,
can
but it's like
manage
all
that.
these things. You work. I mean, I've done many online courses where they're all over the world, and sometimes you have to get up, stay at late at night, and whatever. And I'm really amazed because we have these tutorials. So we, on the online course, it's recorded lectures, which are recorded in London, and then which is they can watch it whenever they want. And so they have one module released a month. So it's like when you did a college weekend, it was one college weekend is released at the same time as the course is going on in London. And then we have live tutorials, and this brings a live element to it, where we and I often do the tutorials, and they people come together, ask any questions, but they come together as a group. So we have cohorts. We just don't sell it as an online course. There's different intakes, and you come in as a group. But yeah, we have people. I'm amazed. Like these tutorials, we did them like 6 or 7 o'clock at, you know, in here in the UK, and there's people in Japan up at, you know, people in Japan 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, all different times. I mean, it's, I just find it amazing, the people's commitment. And what it is because they're accessing a training that they can't get in their own countries. And this is again what technology has done. It's just helped make the world more accessible for people in countries where they can't access this information. As you know, you've been taught at CHE that we have the, and this is not a sales thing, that we have the best, some of the best teachers in homeopathy. And definitely, what it is, it's their clinical experience. You know, everybody who teaches here at CHE, they're all clinicians. They're not professional teachers, they're clinicians. Who are coming in to share their knowledge base, some with 30, 40, 50 years of experience. So that's what makes it, I think, makes you unique.
The lecturers are amazing. And I've interviewed 2 already for other podcasts, and I plan to do definitely more in the future, because you're right, they're all so different from one another as well. So you just get that real breadth. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
What do you think is the future of homeopathy?
Big question. What is the future of homeopathy? That's a really big question. And I think in these times that more than ever, health and well-being is put at the center of everybody's consciousness, not just here, but around the world. And I think because we've all gone through this joint experience around the world, and again, I see this from my students when we're doing tutorials in different parts of the world, being locked down and different things. I think this is a real turning point. And we had a home prescriber course that we recorded with one of our lecturers, Hilary Dorian, a couple of years ago. And we used to sell this course for like £160. When during the first lockdown, I just felt intuitively, because I was talking to so many different types of people who felt very disempowered around the health and well-being, because no one knew what was going on. Mm. And people were scared. People generally were afraid and disempowered around their health. So we gave it away for free. And we've, up to date, we've had about 15,000 people around the world that have registered for this home prescriber course. It's a short 5-hour course where people can learn about homeopathy for the friends, for the family, based on some basic remedies. And the emails that we've got were incredible. People just saying, oh my goodness, I didn't know homeopathy could do this. A friend sent me this link and I really didn't know what homeopathy was, but it's completely opened my eyes. Just people using it, saying, oh, you know, my little boy had a cough and I gave him a remedy, I gave him Pulsatilla, and you know, within 24 hours it's all gone and clear, and normally it goes on for days. So to me, by experiencing it, people get a connection to it and realize what it can do. So I think the future for homeopathy is that more and more people are going to be using it. I mean, if you look at market research around the world, the homeopathic industry is growing at a phenomenal rate. So all the data's there. In fact, in Google Analytics, people searching for homeopathic practitioners last year or year on year had gone up 184%.
Wow!
So people are looking for homeopathy because you're looking for medicine that is more natural, that, like I said, stimulates your body to heal itself. There's no side effects. You can use it on young children and pregnancy as well as adults, and even people use it on animals. They use it on plants. It's now been using, you know, people talk about homeopathy and placebo, where it's been used in farming on farm animals and crops. So it's here to stay. And really, I say to everybody, just use it. And I think the future is very bright, and I want people to use it. And the other aspect of homeopathy, which people forget, is it's sustainable. You know, we use very, very, very small amounts, very, very small amounts. Any substance that we use as a remedy is very, very, very diluted. So to me, it's the ultimate sort of clean, sustainable form of medicine. And so it ticks all the boxes, all the boxes. So I just think it's been a big reset around health and well-being, and people need to take responsibility of their own health and well-being. So homeopathy can be part of that.
Completely. And that sort of self-empowerment, it's, you know, I think we need that right now to more than ever. And it's very, like, in a climate where there is so much fear, to know that there is something you can do for your own health it's so such an important thing for your
exactly.
positive outlook. But tell me, do you know more about crops? Because I find that really fascinating.
Yeah, there was a study done in there was a study, but before going to the crops, just follow up what you just said then about people's fear. Often when I remember running a mother and baby clinic early in my homeopathic career in North London, and I used to teach the mothers how to use the remedies for the kids in between consultations and around the remedy kits. And often what you find is fear is often lack of knowledge. That's all it is. And so the more that you can help educate people how to use these remedies and you know, give an introduction and support them using it, then often you'll find they don't go to the GP as much or down to the A&E department as much because they learn how to use the remedies. So I think that it's often is fear, with the lack of knowledge and where to go to, you know, where to get that information. Onto the crops. So yeah, there was a study done in, I think it was in India. There's a lot of stuff going on in India at the moment, which people have got to remember that in India, over 100 million people use homeopathy as their first, as their primary healthcare modality. There's homeopathic hospitals all throughout India. The Indian government have a whole department for Ayurveda, yoga, homeopathy. It's part of the medical system there, which is quite incredible. If you ever want to see homeopathy as a blueprint of how it could be in society, then go to India. So in India, they did this trial with cotton, and they sprayed the remedy onto this cotton field. I can't give you all the exact information, but it was a cotton field. And they found that the yield of cotton, because it dealt with any the disease that this plants would normally get in the cotton, the yield went up by 34%.
That's amazing. So,
But the you know, the biodynamic community that have been using remedies on crops and plants for well over 100 odd years. You know, it's not a new thing. But it is very interesting. And to me, that this thing saying about homeopathy is placebo, or I say, well, you know, it's used in animals. It's used in farming. As I said, I think in Ainsworth Pharmacy here in London, 50% of what their remedies are is for animals. But on crops, I've really struggled to see where the placebo effect is on crops in a big field. So I think the whole placebo thing is a bit of an old one that now, I think. And you'll get skeptics, and that's great. You know, it's like I say to people say, well, homeopathy, you know, it's a load of rubbish, it doesn't work. I'll say, well, what's your experience?
Yeah.
And often they don't have any, it's just something they've read or something that says, and I said, look, just try it, you know.
It's kind of what people are told, I think, in some ways, because it does seem implausible in some ways. You know, I can look at the old me and how I used to view homeopathy. I didn't know anything about it, but, you know, a quick Google and look on Wikipedia and it's all pseudoscience and according to that. And actually, when I experienced it and witnessed it, you know, I was like, this works without a doubt. And then this part of me is like, even if it was placebo, as long as it works, who cares? But it isn't, because I can see it work on my dog. And as you can say, if it works on a cotton crop, so I don't think it is placebo.
Well, the thing is as well, there is a lot of research out there now. I remember going to a conference 2 years ago at the Royal Society of Medicine. And you can get this, it was recorded on video, it's all on YouTube, called Water, the Evidence for Homeopathy. So you had different scientists from around the world, and it wasn't a homeopathic conference. It was just saying there are the experiments with water, dilutions and succussions, at what their results were. And you had two Nobel Prize winners there. You had Luc Montagnier, who won the joint prize for HIV, discovering the HIV virus, and Brian Josephson, who won the Nobel Prize for physics. And it was very interesting when you see the research. And also one of our graduates, Dr. Alexandre Tournier, set up, and I was one of the first trustees of the Homeopathic Research Institute, where HRI, you can find them online, the HRI.org, I think it is, but it's the Homeopathic Research Institute. They've got lots of information there on their website about all the different trials that have been done. But to me, it's about the proofs in the pudding. If it works, great. Just try it. That's all. You've got nothing to lose. You're not going to, you know, there's no side effects. If it's not the right remedy, it's not going to do you any harm. I would say, just try it. Just try it.
Completely. And the experiments, you know, when I first started looking at homeopathy, I was like, I want to know how it works. But now I kind of don't really care so much. Obviously, it'd be great if we find out. But for me, that's kind of gone. Now I've seen it does work again and again. But there is that Luc Montagnier did a short YouTube video as well, the experiment of sending the HIV virus through, I can't explain it now, but he sent it through the computer. And it is very, it's not about homeopathy, but for me, I was like, oh, this really helps explain in some ways the principles of remedies.
And I think he was following on the research that Dr. Jack Benavis
yes.
did, the French scientist, many, many years ago. The thing is, I think the answer is not in chemistry. So people often will poo-poo homeopathy because it's so diluted. It's not just diluted, it's accursed, which means it is, it's vigorously shaken as part of the preparation. So it's not just the dilution. So when I just don't think the answer is in chemistry. Mm. The answer is in physics. Yeah. And when we go into the world of quantum physics, quantum mechanics, it's a very weird world and we don't fully understand it. So it will be discovered, homeopathy, the mechanism behind it. But at the moment, we just don't know. But we know how to use it.
Yeah.
And we know how to use it over 150, 200 years of clinical experience. Because this is the other thing with homeopathy. It's not just a new age therapy. It's been around for hundreds of years. And I mean, you look at America, the history in America, 25% of all physicians in America at the turn of the 20th century were homeopaths. There's actually a statue of Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, opposite the White House.
Yeah.
The first female doctor to ever qualify in America was from a homeopathic medical school. There was homeopathic medical schools all around America, and they were shut down in, I think it was 1920, 25, can't remember the exact date, after a thing called the Flexner Report came out. And in fact, the American Medical Association was set up to outlaw homeopathy. So there was a homeopathic medical association before there was an American medical association, but it was set up to outlaw homeopathy. So the history of homeopathy, particularly like in America, is phenomenal around the world. But even Americans don't know their own history around it. I mean, well, I've talked in New York that they didn't know about it. So it's very, very interesting.
And I get the impression, and I don't know without looking at stats, but it seems like homeopathy isn't as well known in the States as it is in the UK.
Yeah, no. I mean, it is everywhere. I mean, Boiron, the French homeopathic producer of homeopathy, I mean, it's in things like Walmart, and all different. The name of the health food stores over there and the pharmacies. It is there, but yeah, it's not as, I don't think it's as well known as it is in Europe. It's a rich tradition here, but it was in America. And I mean, even Rockefeller had a homeopath all his life, and was going to leave his money to homeopathy. But right at the last moment, I think it was his nephew persuaded him to do it into this new medicine. How the story could be different.
I know, that's what I was about to say. Very, very different. So one thing, a couple of other things I want to ask you, Marcus, if it's okay. I was going to ask, do you have a favourite remedy? I know it's very hard to, like, when there are thousands.
Do I have a favourite remedy?
Yeah, do you have a soft spot for any remedies or remedies in particular?
Well, if I have a favourite remedy, it's got to be arnica. I mean, I just love arnica. It's just such a phenomenal remedy. It's such a very basic remedy, the first remedy you learn. It's mostly in people's cabinet. But that's why I like it, because it's universal. So it's obviously a no-brainer with arnica. You don't have to take a full case to give arnica. Mm. You get a bang on the head, you take arnica. You have a fall, you take arnica. It's just, and I've given arnica in very chronic cases for people with, you know, deep trauma they've had, say, from 10 years previously when they've been in a car accident and never been well since. After surgery, or, you know, shock, emotional shock, such a universal remedy that I think it should be in every A&E department, every car, every bag. It's in my kid's bag at school, you know, if it takes to school or when they play football. It's to me that's my favorite remedy, because it is so universal. And to me, it just really, really sort of epitomizes my idea of homeopathy, that it should be universal like that. So arnica.
Yeah, no, good one. Oh, do you know what? Sulfur was the first remedy that I learned at CAT.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Sulfur, yeah. Yeah, the first remedy that we learn, and then well, sulfur's a great remedy, but arnica, because of it's universal.
And everyone's like used arnica. I think that's the only, you know, I didn't even really realize it was homeopathy years ago. You know, I remember having it when I had my C-section, and I hadn't, used homeopathy at all, but everyone was like, get some arnica. It's like people don't often realize. I think they think it's something else.
Exactly. And this is back to my point about people don't really know what homeopathy is. So, you know, you go out and ask 100 people what is homeopathy, they have no idea what it is. So a lot of our time, like you said about arnica, people use it all, they don't know whether it's homeopathic or not. So I think if that universal remedy, people don't know it's homeopathic, then that's where our education starts. It starts very simply. But you're right, it's such a great, great, great remedy to take. Such a great remedy.
And a more personal remedy question, which you can decline to answer if you want. Do you have a, I know we use the word constitutional, we can have lots of constitutional. What is your constitutional remedy?
That's a personal question there.
Yeah. You don't have to answer.
No, it's not that. I'm just thinking what I would say. I'd probably say I was quite phosphoric, tubercular. My wife would say I'm sulfur, you know. So you know, but if you looked at my room, it looks pretty sulfurish. So maybe you should ask my wife. Maybe she'd got a better, clearer thing. Because we all want to be phosphorus, don't we? We all want to be excitable and vivacious and full of energy. But I think she probably would say sulfur. I sort of, yeah, maybe I'm a bit sulfurish. Maybe I am. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't see that. Yeah, I would have said from what I know at college and that phosphorus. But I guess I don't see your the inside of your house.
Yeah. Speak to my wife. She can tell you my sulfurish ways. Probably a more truer picture.
Okay, and then I've got a final question that I like to ask to everyone, that is, if you could, and it's quite a big question to end on, but if you could be given one wish for humanity right now, what would you wish for?
I wish that people would be kinder to each other. Mm. I think, you know, if anything this lockdown has showed us is being the best and the worst of people. And I get that because I think fear brings out a lot of things in people, but I think we just need to be a little bit kinder to each other, and I think that would be a lot kinder, if I was going to say it. But just be kinder to each other, and just, it's like, you know, the wearing of the mask and all the different things. Even in the beginning, I didn't want to do it at all, and I thought, why am I doing this? And then I actually was talking to Robin Murphy about it, and he was saying, well, if it makes that one person feel better about themselves, when you walk into a shop and they're fearful, then I'm willing to do that for 5 seconds or 5 minutes as I walk in the shop and walk out again and take it out. And I get that. I get that. And so I think to be more kinder, I think we just need to be more kinder to each other.
Yeah. The world would be a much better place, wouldn't it? If everyone
absolutely
adopted
absolutely
that principle. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
and
you
kinder
so
to everything, environment. To everything. I mean, it's just coming much more from a heart-based place rather than just, we need more love in the world. And to me, love is the opposite of fear. So that's where the kindness comes in.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, let's hope for that. I wish hopefully some positive change will come out of the last year or so.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm really positive. I mean, I'm really positive. I think, I'm talking particularly now in homeopathy, I'm very positive about it. I think, as I said, the world needs homeopathy more than ever. You know, the world needs healing. I think you look at a place like India, where it's a great blueprint of how homeopathy can be set out. And I think that, we've got to have the debate. And to me, unfortunately as well, I've seen about the bad side of this year has been that often a lot of debate's been suppressed. I don't think anything's above debate. Everything can be debated and discussed. And I think homeopathy deserves to have its place at the forefront, like it has, it's had in the past, and it needs to in the future. Mm. I'm excited. I mean, we had the best 23 years we've ever had last year with the CHE. In our intakes, more people want to learn homeopathy, learn about it, want to train as practitioners. And what I find more and more when I do my interviews, because I interview everybody who applies for a practitioner training, as you know, because I would have interviewed you, is that what people are looking for is more purpose and meaning in their life. And that's the other thing that's come from this last year, is people suddenly realize, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? And so they're looking for more purpose and meaning. And often when people decide to train as a homeopath, it's because either they've experienced it themselves, they know what homeopathy can do, and they want to help others, in their own lives. So I'm very positive about the future. I do believe in kindness, back to kindness again. And I believe in humanity, and that basically people are good. People are good.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. For anyone wanting to learn more, where do you recommend that they go, like for beginner's guides to homeopathy? Is the course still running for free at the minute, or is that
it's not, we've just finished, but I would say just go to www.chehomeopathy.com and just go in there. If you want to contact us or get in touch, please go on there. And I think actually the home prescriber course is even on there. I'm not sure, I can't remember, but just go to the website, always email us if you want any further information. And we do a lot of open days over the summer, virtual open days online. Maybe Lisa will get you on as well so you can share your experiences.
I'd love to, definitely.
Just come along and ask any, well, contact us if you're interested. I always say you don't decide to get into homeopathy, it calls you, it's a calling. And if it is calling you, then listen to it. Because it's like for me, when I sat on that open day many, many years ago, something called me, that thing about truth, I felt it. And I'd say just follow that and follow your heart.